Well, we've been going through, like we said, we've been going through Ephesians. And last week, you know, we talked about Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And it's so easy to stop there because that is such a good passage. And so we forget that anything comes after verse 10 because it's such a good text.
Right.
But there are some more things that we can learn from Ephesians 2. So tonight we're going to look at verses 11 through verse 22. And I believe this text is really applicable to things that are happening in our society today. So we're going to apply some of what we're seeing today through this text. So verse 11 of chapter 2 of Ephesians says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed on the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." And so we have these two groups. We have the circumcised and the uncircumcised, which means, you know, the Jews and the Gentiles.
Right.
And so, Pastor Jeff, what was the original purpose of circumcision? You know, you don't have to go into detail, but religiously speaking, what was the original purpose of circumcision?
Yeah, so circumcision in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, God told Abraham to do that as a sign of the covenant. And circumcision is a taking away of the flesh, and it is symbolic of our relationship with the Lord. And I think Colossians makes that true, brings out that point, that it's not the removal of the flesh, that's the spiritual aspect, but it's the removal of, let's see, in Him, this is Colossians 2:11, "And in Him you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, mm-hmm. in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." So in the physical act, circumcision is a taking away of the flesh, and it was bloodshed, and it was painful. Abraham was 99 mm-hmm. when he did that. Ishmael was 13 when he did that with Abraham. After that, it was 8 days old, you would have that done. Would much rather have that done at 8 days old yeah. than at 99 years
yeah.
old.
Yeah.
Especially as they would take a flint rock.
Oh,
I mean, it was difficult.
Okay.
But anyway, so it's a picture of the covenant that they had, the Jews had with God in the Old Testament. And it's also a picture of the new life we have in Christ mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. He changes us and we become a new creation and the old things pass away and the new things have come.
Yeah, okay, good. So the Gentiles are in a hopeless situation. So why does Paul remind the Ephesians of the Gentiles' previous hopeless situation?
Well, I think it's good for all of us to remember how hopeless our life was without Jesus. And he lists different things. They were separated from Christ. They were separated from the commonwealth of Israel. He said, "You were excluded. You were strangers to the covenants of promise." And so it's not just, well, you don't have any hope with Jesus, without Jesus, but you guys as Gentiles, you weren't looking forward to anything. I mean, the Jews had the promise, Genesis 3:15,
right. yeah.
of the seed of the woman that was going to crush the serpent's head. They had the promise from the day that Adam and Eve sinned that God was going to send a Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gentiles didn't have that promise. And so they weren't looking for a Messiah as the Jews were looking for a Messiah. So they had the promise of a Savior, and the Gentiles had no promise like that. And so he said, you are without hope. There was nothing to hold on to. And then also it's just a reminder to all of us, without Jesus, none of us have any hope. And until He comes into a person's life, you are totally without hope. You're on the highway to hell. There is no off ramp. You are just born in sin, sinners by birth, sinners by nature, sinners by practice, sinners by choice, and sinners who are going to experience the judgment of God. The wages of sin is death. And all that is true for every single one of us, but God being rich in mercy, as we talked about last week, because of the great love with which He loved us, He made a way through the person of Jesus and the cross and the empty tomb.
Right. And so, yeah, that's our hope, because verse 13 We get the hope. Paul starts talking about the hope. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained by ordinances, so that in himself he might have the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. And then verse 18 says, for through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So verse 13, obviously things majorly change, but we know that this is not new. This was always a part of God's plan. How would you describe how we knew that this was always a part of God's plan, the plan of Christ?
Well, it's a Revelation 13:8 says that the Lord was crucified before the foundations of the world. The Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of the world. So before God ever created anything in this world, before he ever created you and me, he knew that we would sin because God knows the end from the beginning. And he knew that there would need to be a Savior and that he was going to have to become a man and die on the cross for our sins so that he could bring holy God and sinful man together in peace and in reconciliation and in redemption. And so God knew that from the start. And God said the amazing thing, you know, if you knew you were going to have kids and they were all going to rebel against you and create havoc in the home that you created for them, you would think, maybe I shouldn't have kids.
Right.
But God saw past the havoc and past the chaos and said, it's worth it because one day Chris is going to be like me. One day Jeff is going to be like me. One day all the believers are going to be made like Christ and we're all going to live together in heaven with the Lord in a perfect place where there is no more sin. And so it, just as it says in Hebrews 12, that Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he looked past what he was going through to the result, the end result, that this is going to bring people into my Father's house and into his kingdom and bring sons and daughters to be born into the kingdom of God to live forever and ever. So it was worth it, but it cost a great cost to do to be able to do that.
So, so he had a perfect plan and he saw the plan being fulfilled and how the plan would be fulfilled. And I like telling people, you know, that God doesn't have a plan B or C or so on. He really has a plan A. He's not caught off guard. He's still got a plan A. And of course, Jesus Christ is ultimately plan A.
Right.
Okay, so now let's look at the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. How, but the Christian Jews, how are the Christian Jews and Gentiles alike? How are they similar?
Well, we both have the same Savior. And so Christian Jews, completed Jews, Messianic Jews is what we call them. They put their faith and trust in Jesus. They recognize, hey, Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. He came for us, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, for the promises for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And so we don't share their background as far as being Gentiles, but we're grafted into the family. And the same blood that was shed to purchase the Jews was shed to purchase the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And so they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And just as this passage lays out, the Lord took all that enmity and all that strife away when he brought us together in Jesus.
So how would you define what that barrier, that dividing wall is? What is that barrier, that dividing wall that needed to be knocked down?
Well, there was tremendous hatred between Jews and Gentiles. And, you know, we read about in the New Testament how they didn't like, the Jews didn't like Samaritans. Well, the reason they didn't like Samaritans was the fact that Samaritans were half Jew, half Gentile. And so they half looked breeds. At them, they're half breeds. and they were turncoats because they didn't stay pure as the Jews did, and the Jews were God's chosen people, and how could you pollute yourself by having offspring with Gentiles? And so if you didn't like Samaritans, half Jew, half Gentile, you really didn't like full Gentiles. They would call them Gentile dogs and the Gentile pigs, and the Gentiles were unclean. And so there was tremendous hatred there. You know, the Roman occupation in Israel, in Jerusalem especially, Pilate hated the Jews and the Jews hated Pilate. And the Roman soldiers hated the Jews and the Jews hated the Roman soldiers. There was just tremendous hostility. And so in Jesus, he destroyed that dividing line and he took that barrier out of the way. So we both look to the same Savior.
Yeah, that's good. So Pastor Jeff has a, you know, a gift of prophecy, a prophetic gift that he's able to use in the church. So Pastor Jeff, what are some of the barriers that you see in the church today? What are some barriers that you see in Christians today that are, you know, dividing us? I mean, it's, I see a lot.
Right. Well, you know, we just finished the series on discernment in a day of deception. And so there are some things that divide us that are good things as far as Christians need to be discerning. And we don't just have a wide open policy. Everything's okay. There are no standards and you don't need to believe anything that I believe. No, we have some, as one author put it, some spine issues in the Christian life. The deity of Christ, the Trinity of God, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Those are spine issues. The Word of God being divinely inspired, without error.
Unwavering.
Right. Yeah. And this is authoritative, and we go by what the Word says. And so those are spine issues. We don't deviate from that. And so we don't open the door and say, well, I understand that Mormons believe a little differently about than we do concerning Jesus, but hey, you know.
Not a deal breaker.
That's a major deal breaker because we're not to have fellowship light with darkness. And if you allow things like that, spine issues, to come in, they'll break your back and destroy the church. Chris, another one that's going around right now with social justice and the social justice warriors and making that the focus, thrust of the gospel. I had shared a few weeks ago, back in the early 1900s when the social gospel came into being, and they said that really the purpose of the gospel is to, you know, feed the poor and house the homeless and do all those things. That's an ancillary, that's a secondary thing. The gospel is sharing life with men who are dead, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, and men who need to understand that Jesus came for their sins and died for their sins and rose again on the third day. That's a gospel issue, and so we can't have somebody attach something to it, like a parasite, that would suck the life out of the gospel. And so we need to be careful with those things, that the gospel remains pure. And so some of those things are, hey, if you're starting to mess with the gospel, that's a spine issue, what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so I think some of the other issues that can divide us, Chris, would be how we view the second coming.
Okay.
You know? Okay. So if you don't see it the way Pastor Jeff sees it, then you can't go to church here, or you can't have fellowship at First Baptist. Listen, I believe what I believe with all my heart, but I could be wrong on some of the finer points of the second coming. Some people believe, as I do, that the rapture is the next thing on God's great timetable. And we're to be looking, lift up your eyes, look up and be watchful, for the day of your redemption is drawing near. I believe that's coming. I believe that comes before the tribulation period. Some believe that the rapture is in the middle of the tribulation. Some believe that the rapture comes at the end of the tribulation period. So,
I'm hoping before.
Yes. Well, I believe that the Bible's clear about that. God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. But those aren't deal breakers as far as fellowship goes. Mm-hmm. Maybe how you see the gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Those aren't deal breakers as mm-hmm. far as fellowship goes. You might have a different view of the gift of tongues, let's say, than mm-hmm. I do. But that doesn't mean...
Or healing. Yeah.
Right. That doesn't mean we can't have fellowship together, worship together. And you know, I know some wonderful Christians that I love to be around mm-hmm. that have different views on eschatology. They have mm-hmm. different views on the gifts of the Spirit. But we
have
share
this... fellowship still.
Right. Because yeah. yeah. we share the same love for the Savior and the same spine issues. We're tight on that.
Yeah. I could see churches also being divided over preferences, you know, like styles, like worship
right.
styles or, you know, preaching styles. That could bring division, barriers that don't really need to be there.
Right. And it typically that revolves around music.
Yeah.
So people have strong opinions about music. Debbie and I don't really like the same music.
Oh.
Debbie's a lot more contemporary than I am when it comes to music. I like... KHCB Radio 92.5, mm-hmm. and every time I have that on, and especially on Sunday morning, she's like, "Please turn that off. It's just depressing." She doesn't say it quite like that, but you know, she likes really upbeat stuff, and KHCB is not known for their upbeat music. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's a minor thing. We can still mm-hmm. get along. That shouldn't be a dividing point.
Yeah.
I had an interesting conversation today, Chris, that I'd mentioned to you. Some of you may remember the name Graham Kerr. He was the host of the Galloping Gourmet, which was a very popular cooking show. It started in 1969 and ran through 1974. Well, I had an hour conversation with him today. He's 86 years old. He lives in the Seattle, Washington area. And His powerful testimony of how he came to know Christ, very much a charismatic background, mm-hmm. was his story and his upbringing in Christianity. And so we would think differently about certain things, but we had great fellowship together, and I loved hearing his testimony, and he is so on fire for the Lord at 86. He wants to make a difference. And make his life count all the way to the end. His wife was a godly person. She got saved before he did, and then she brought him to the Lord, and then all their kids came to Christ. And so it's really a powerful story. But here's a guy that he and I would probably differ on interpretation of certain things, but that's not a barrier for
right.
fellowship and for loving one another and for being able to join hands, so to speak, and worship the Lord together.
Yeah. I love that we have different flavors in the body of Christ, you know, and a lot of times it's just where the focus is being put, you know, not more than disagreement, but just where the emphasis is being
right.
put. The book that we're reading in staff meeting talks about, you know, the first part, when you're talking about the theology differences, the theological differences, it used to be where we'd argue over, where groups would argue over the word being inerrant or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's even getting to the point of, is it sufficient
right.
enough, you know?
Right.
And boy, of course the word of God is
right.
sufficient, but some groups don't see the sufficiency of Scripture, so they're going to other places outside of the Scripture
right.
to help with issues.
Right, and so they'll say, yeah, we think that the Bible is inerrant and infallible,
yeah.
but we need to have this other teaching or doctrine or whatever
mm-hmm.
to help supplement the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need anything to supplement mm-hmm. the Word of God.
Right. Okay, so obviously there's a lot of barriers that are dividing us, or that have the potential to divide us as the church, as the body of Christ. Let's look at the last few verses, down to verse 19 of chapter 2. It says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." So talks about us being citizens, fellow citizens with the saints of God's household. What does that mean to be a citizen of God's household?
Yeah, well, it says in Philippians 3 that our citizenship is in heaven. We belong to the Lord's kingdom. We are citizens in his kingdom. We don't live there yet, but we are there. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so our whole future, everything is there in heaven. And so because we belong to the Lord's kingdom, we are fellow citizens with the saints. And Chris, have you noticed when you maybe you're out of town or I've traveled abroad or something like that, when you meet a Christian, there's just
a natural connection
because that's your brother in the Lord, that's your sister in the Lord, and you're citizens of the same realm, the kingdom
of God. Most important thing you have in common, you know? And I am so thankful that this is not our home now, that we are citizens of something much better than where we are now. Okay, so this is a really broad, huge question here for you, Pastor Jeff, is what do you see God doing in the church today? What are some things that you could point out that God is definitely doing in this day and age in the church?
Well, I think God is separating.
Yes.
He is allowing things to come into our world and into the church to separate the tares and the wheat. And we're starting to see that. Who is going to stay faithful to the Lord and who is not? You know, one of the things when Jesus told the parable about the sower went out to sow and he sowed some seed and some fell in the shallow soil and it came up quickly. But then when the sun came out, it withered because it had no firm root. Jesus said the sun was the son of persecution. And so the Lord uses persecution to weed out the true from the false, because somebody that's just playing church is not going to hang around when the persecution comes. And when the heat gets turned up, that's when you see who's genuine and who's false. And so I see God doing that in our world today. And I was listening to a sermon today, and one of the things that was mentioned, I thought it was great, said that, you know, if you have true faith in the Lord and you've truly been born again, He will not let you go, and He will not let you turn from that. Your faith can't be destroyed because He holds it. And He, as it says in Ephesians 2, He Himself is our peace. He's our everything. And so when you really belong to Jesus, He will hold you. When you see people defect from the faith, the problem is not, well, they lost their salvation or God kicked them out or something like that. They never had it. And when things got tough or temptations got too great or whatever, they bailed. And I think we're seeing that a lot today. Who is going to be true? Who is going to be faithful? Who is going to stand firm in the Lord and fight and contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints? You know, the Bible tells us to do that. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. We're entrusted with the truth, and we need to guard the truth and make sure that the truth doesn't get polluted, doesn't get adulterated, so that because once you add sewage to the pure water, you ruin it. And so we have to make sure that doesn't take place. So I see that God is doing that in the church today, and really calling out people to be discerning and to be able to, like the sons of Issachar, to understand the times and know what we should do.
Yeah. What about specifically with leaders in the church? What do you see? How do you see God using leaders in the church in this time, and like styles and stuff, and the way that they're leading pastors?
Well, I think what we're seeing today, we talked about this in staff meeting, all the fluff and all the
gimmick.
The gimmicky stuff, all that falls by the wayside when difficulty comes, because then it's, I've often said, if what you're preaching can't minister to the Chinese Christian incarcerated somewhere in communist China, if it doesn't minister to him, if you're talking to that guy, well, hey, next week you're going to get your promotion and you can live your best life now, or if it's all about that kind of stuff to someone who's suffering, that doesn't minister to them. They need to have substance. And so we're seeing that this is the substance, and it's being true to the Word and trusting the Lord, and being faithful and not walking in fear. You know, Chris, so it says He Himself, verse 14, He Himself is our peace. People really need peace right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because the headlines are starting to create hysteria. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were way, way down last Sunday as opposed to just a couple of Sundays before. I realize it was holiday weekend. But I think a lot of people were staying home just because they were afraid of, well, I don't want to be in a crowd. And, you know, I've been listening to the news. And as we've stated on numerous occasions, if you're compromised, you need to stay home. But if you're not compromised, you need to gather with God's people to be here, to be encouraged by the word, and to be encouraged by the worship, and to be encouraged by one another. That's very, very important.
I've heard a lot of people talk about their testimony and them struggling right now because being in isolation, being away from the body, and how that's really affected them. More anxiety, fear, which the antidote would be peace. You know, the peace is what we want. And so being away from the body, it really affects people, and people are starting to realize how that's affecting them.
It really does. We were created for fellowship. We're created for one another. We need one another. And I realize that some people are put in a situation where they have to be isolated for a time. Mm-hmm. But if that has no end point to it, that can be very discouraging, depressing, and people can really lose steam.
Well, I'm encouraged by you watching, because you're watching, and we're just going through Ephesians verse by verse, and Pastor Jeff is just expositing this text. And so I'm encouraged by that, and knowing that people are watching and they're hungry for the Word of God and hungry for truth. And so that's encouraging to us.
Well, you know, in this passage too, those verses that you just read, in the Old Testament, the Lord had a temple for His people. Mm-hmm. In the New Testament, He has a people that are His temple, because we are the temple of the living God. He lives inside of
our
hearts.
Not just the building.
It's not the building, it's us, because that's where God lives. You know, this gym is where we have our worship service, so you could say this is now the worship center for our church. And there's things you wouldn't do in here because, I can't desecrate this place because this is a special place. But really, the Lord lives in here.
Yeah.
This is the place that you don't desecrate, because this is where God lives.
I know when I'm sitting in service, I see the basketball hoops, and it's like, I wish I could be
shooting. Yeah. So the Lord is building His kingdom one person at a time, one heart at a time. And we can be a part of that as we shine and share, as we're faithful to witness and faithful to tell people about Jesus, who's mighty to save. And, you know, when it talks about the enmity, we're experiencing a lot of hatred in our country right now. And I think the devil is right in the thick of that, because he wants to divide people. He wants to get this group to hate that group and that group to hate another group, and just to create division everywhere. He loves to create division in the church. He loves to create division in the community and in the culture. And we have a lot of division right now.
Yeah, not to open a can of worms, but, you know, Billy Graham talked about the most segregated time of the week is Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And so that's another division by cultures, by race, ethnicity is definitely an area where we're divided. It's really unfortunate that that's the way things operate.
Right. Well, we have a lot to learn from different cultures and different ethnicities, and when we come together, you know, when we've done some services where we brought a lot of churches together, that's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
And that's what heaven's going to be like, where you have people from every tongue and every tribe and every nation all coming together, all with the same heart of love for Jesus, and we sing His praises. That's going to be
awesome. It's energizing being around different cultures, different people that you're not normally with. That's really energizing. It's all the body of Christ, so that's exciting. Right. So I feel that in this time, this trial that we're going through with the pandemic and the race riots and all this, this is a time where we really could be growing more than ever, because these are the seasons where God really helps us to grow, and we need to grow in this time, not be stagnant in this time.
Right, for sure. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, we love You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for every person that's watching online. We ask You to bless them, encourage their hearts. And Lord, we thank You that at one time, we had no hope because we were without You, separated from You, without God in the world. But we thank You for the cross, for the blood that Your Son shed to wash us white as snow. We thank You for the empty tomb. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You Yourself are our peace, and that we can experience tremendous peace when we embrace Your grace. And Lord, we are reminded how the letters are begun in the New Testament. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Lord, we can't experience your peace until we first accept your grace. And I pray that's true for every listener, that they would be surrendered to your grace. And God, that you would have your way. Help us to be the people you want us to be. Help us to shine and share. We love you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thanks for watching.